This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
In place, and you do understand it's low voltage, don't you? She would say, "What you say, ma'am?"
Yes.
Would it
help if I was to speak to her? I don't know about his Portuguese, but I've always found that all Spaniards understand Italian. They seem to feel the same duty towards Italian as the Welsh would feel towards English.
Yes.
Therefore, when I communicate with Spaniards, although I speak only a few words of Spanish, I speak predominantly fluent Italian, and they seem to understand it perfectly. And where they don't, which is very rare, I can then dig out one of my few words of Spanish. They then reply to me in Spanish, which I find I understand on the whole quite well. Now, would it be a good thing if I was to ring her up and explain to her the concept of a low-voltage blanket as being something very special and different from the ordinary blanket?
I don't think I should know. If you happen to be there and you run into this lady, whose name is Linda...
I've never yet met her. I've only heard about her.
No, well, quite. I think it's unlikely that you will run into her, and I don't think it's the slightest good ringing her up and explaining anything on the telephone. But if you run into her and... You do see that the electric blanket is or is not there. It wouldn't be at all a bad thing for you to say this is a good thing and it's okay. Because, you see, I don't think she thinks it's a danger. I don't think she knows enough about electricity to displace it. It wasn't she who removed it, it was somebody else.
But, of course, she might have been told by somebody that it's dangerous.
She might.
One point I would like to make, Alice, about these low-voltage things, because, as you know, I design and make a whole series of low-voltage things, including low-voltage blankets. There is a point that very few people know about. Although the low-voltage heated clothing and blanket are absolutely safe from the point of view of shock, there is one field in which they are no safer than the mains voltage one, and this is fire. You see, let me quote you a case in point which illustrates it. Normally, when I supply heated clothing to anybody, I'm absolutely insistent that I give a long and detailed lecture on the safety aspects of the use of the thing to the actual user.
Yeah.
And normally, there's no resistance to this, it's accepted, and it's a necessary part of the operation. On one single occasion only, this did not happen, for reasons I will explain in a minute, and the result was nearly a disaster. What happened was this. A man rang me up who was a rough diamond from the East End and said, "Want some heated insoles for my mother?" I said, "How old is she?" 78, or something like that, you see. I said, "Right, I would like to meet you and meet her and explain to you exactly how these things use. Haven't got no time for none of that. Sending you the money through the post, I want you to send the goods to me. No time for nothing."
Yeah.
Now, I should have said, "I've got no time for nothing either. Good day."
Yeah.
I didn't. I wanted the business. I said, "All right." He sent me the money. I sent him the goods. There was nearly a disaster. And this is what happened. You see, normally the insoles, as I use them and as most sensible people use them, they are worn with the wiring lowered down through the trousers that one is wearing, and the insoles are put in the shoes or the boots, so that every time you move from the place where you're plugged in, be it to the mains, transformer, or the motorbike, or whatever, perforce you unplug before you move away.
Yeah.
And the heated insoles go with you, forming part and parcel of your clothing inside your boots or shoes.
Until you meet the next plug.
Exactly. Now, if you do this, there is no risk, no possibility of leaving the insoles, not in contact with the human being, plugged in and switched on unattended.
Oh, I see.
And what she did was to leave the insoles, switched on and plugged in a pair of sheepskin, inverted sheepskin slippers.
Yeah.
Now imagine the magnificent thermal insulating qualities of inverted sheepskin with the wool to the inside.
Yeah.
Then on top of the heated insoles, she placed inverted sheepskin insoles to further to insulate the heat. She then turned the slippers upside down and left them lying on the floor, plugged into the mains transformer, giving only 12 volts, and switched on, and went into another room to do quite other things.
Yeah.
An hour later she came back to a smell of smoke and singeing. The insoles and the slippers, I still have them, I've kept them as evidence, were so blackened and charred that you could have snapped the leather. You did. I mean, if you just bent the leather, it went ping and snapped. It had been so grossly overheated.
Yeah.
It must have come within a hair's breadth of a fire, which could have destroyed the whole building and caused loss of life.
Yeah.
All this because, haven't got no time for that.
Yeah.
Send it through the post.
Yeah.
So you see, now the same applies to an electric blanket. I make these things too. And better ones than the one you have, because mine are lower voltage still. They're 12 volts instead of 24, so the risk is even lower.
Yeah.
And 12 volts maximum from about, they work from nothing up to 12 volts. Now, the danger with heated clothing and heated gloves and heated blankets, be they mains voltage or low voltage, makes no difference at all. If they are, for example, screwed up or rolled up or folded and left under a pile of thermally insulating material, such as blankets or cushions or whatever, and in that condition left switched on and connected, after a time the temperature gradually goes up, steadily, steadily, slowly, slowly, up, 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 insidiously, until combustion point is reached.
Yeah. But nobody in their senses leaves them in that position switched on.
Well, no, but it can happen, and it has been known to happen.
Yeah.
So therefore, the important thing is we kept stretched out flat, level, and preferably taped down.
Yeah.
Fastened down with cords or whatever. And not left running unattended. I may tell you that I leave my blankets running unattended continuously and have done for 32 years, regardless of whether I'm in Italy, in Germany, in England, or wherever I am. They are going continuously, non-stop.
Yeah.
And in this house, there is one double guest bed, and there are two single guest beds, and my own bed. And that makes a total of four electric blankets, and they are all going, they are never, 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 never switched off. But they are also all kept going at a low setting.
Yes.
About number three on the transformer.
Yeah.
Now, if one does that, that's perfect. The beds remain bone dry all the time. Anyway, I'm just mentioning this because few people realise that this danger does exist. But, you see, the point I'm making is this, that in this extreme cold, the presence or absence of that blanket, even for one day, could make the difference in between continued life and death.
Well, I don't think my mother terribly minds. She's got to the age now where she's not really got much to look forward to. And I get the impression that if she were quietly to go off in her sleep, that would suit her down to the ground. I'm not proposing to interfere too much. I'm quite sure she doesn't want you, for instance, or any other man, turfing her out of bed and insisting on making the bed in some other way.
I see. So you'd rather not put the blanket in the bed?
Yes. If I were there, I would put the blanket in the bed, and I would consult you over it, but I wouldn't have you in her room at the time. I think this is one of the things. I know she invited you in, and I'm thankful that all is well on that front. I don't want to prejudice that again. You never know which way that cat's going to jump.
I know, I see what you mean. Safety electric blanket, a low voltage one.
I thought that.
Well, she did. And apparently the social worker took it out of your bed because she mistakenly thought it could be dangerous. And it can't be dangerous. It's a low voltage safety blanket. It's perfectly safe. Could you tell me, has that blanket been put back in your bed?
Blanket?
Yes, electrically heated blanket. Yes, would you ask her?
I'm asking her.
Could I speak to Linda?
They told Linda not to use it.
Could I speak to Linda? I've got a message for her.
Who is her?
To arrange about the blanket. Could I speak to Linda?
Yes, you can speak to Linda. Yes, she is.
Thank you.
Hello, Mum.
Linda?
Yes?
Lei capisce italiano?
Yes.
Benissimo. Lei non conosce me. Sono un parente distante della signora Via. Sono parente per sposo, capisce?
Yes.
E ho parlato una conversazione molto lunga che ha regalato alla un coperchio elettrico molto, molto speciale. Non è un coperchio elettrico comune. È speciale un coperchio di sicurezza, capisce? Di sicurezza, di bassissimo voltaggio, che non è in grado di dare nessun scossa elettrica. Mi capisce?
I capisce, but the social people been here and they say they don't do it. It is off of the room and it is off of the bed and they don't believe to use it.
Sì.
So it's nothing to do with me. It's the social people. I'm more in charge than I. Close the door and the room gets warm. And so we leave it as it is the best way.
Lucy è preoccupato e vuole assolutamente che questo coperchio sia usata, specialmente in tempo freddo come oggi. Occorre il pericolo per gente anziane che loro possono morire da freddo a causa di non essere riscaldato nel letto. E questo coperchio, credeme, non è un coperchio comune. È una cosa che costa molto, molte volte più caro di un coperchio normale. E non c'è nessun pericolo.
I understand you, sir, but it's very kind of you and but as she told me herself before, but the ladies who work, they say for not to use it, and they took it out of the room, and it is all.
Yes, but you see, those ladies should be told quite clearly that this is a special safety device, which is absolutely safe, and there is no reason at all why it should not be used.
Well, the room have too many plugs and too many things, and we feel safer to not to have any more plugs, otherwise have to be the whole structure started again. You understand what
well,
I mean? But the room is nice and warm, with as long we keep the door shut, and everything is well, she's warm in bed.
So sure she's quite all right?
She's quite all right, thank you very much indeed.
I am coming to your place at 10 o'clock.
我十点钟来你书。我十点钟来你书。
What time do they eat lunch?
他们几点钟吃晏昼? 他们几点钟吃晏昼?
They eat lunch every day at 12:30.
他们日日都12:30吃晏昼. 他们日日都12:30吃晏昼.
Now, 1 minute, I need a piece of paper. Perhaps I should introduce it all by saying that I'm half German and therefore connected with things that go on in Germany. I'm basically English and I live near Windsor. And I'm connected with a German prince who has a museum in the south of Germany in an old castle. And in the early to mid-1970s, your firm carried out a series of very satisfactory transportations of vehicles to South Germany. Did you ever hear about these at all?
I can't say that I did, no.
They were little adventures in their own right.
Uh-huh.
I will give you a little idea of what happened. First of all, do remind me, is your firm basically based in Switzerland or in Germany?
Well, it's a little complicated because the head office has always been in Chiasso, Switzerland, but it's base of operations has always been in Germany.
Where in Germany?
Well, everywhere, from Hamburg to Munich and most places in between. But that all changed 2 years ago when the shareholders sold the whole shebang to a big Swedish corporation. So the headquarters of the corporation is now in Stockholm, although we're still very, very strong in southern Germany and also in the Ruhr.
Ah, I see. So it's all changed a lot. Well, I'll fill you in on the background to what happened, if it interests you, because it was quite amusing. I had procured for His Royal Highness a number of vehicles for his museum on various occasions, and these included the most unbelievable ancient so-called fire engines, if you can call them fire engines, fire brigade engines, hand-drawn, hand-pumped, horse-drawn, hand-pumped, horse-drawn, steam-pumped. Can you imagine?
Wonderful.
And these things stood at Datchet near Windsor for varying periods of months and up to nearly a year. And eventually Zustenbachmeyer removed them and they went to the south of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most amusing things of all was a motor car propelled by steam made in America in 1910 by a company called White, who formerly made sewing machines, then made steam cars, and then moved on to make half tracks and armoured cars, and in the present time, White, the same company, is noted for making the biggest and the best American juggernauts.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know all about those.
I've got pictures of my son standing in front of them very proudly, yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They are supposed to be magnificent, I'm told.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, it may interest you to know that His Royal Highness and I travelled something like 200 miles in early January this year when I was spending Christmas of the New Year in Germany in this White steam car on his network of tracks and roads in his private forests and lands in the south of Germany.
Huh.
Now, here is the present situation. He is interested in old-fashioned things that are driven by steam, and I procure them for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he has instructed me to obtain several competitive estimates from various different firms, yourselves being one, Schenker being one, Kühnel Nagel being another. Actually, it was I who suggested you. He'd forgotten all about you, but I had you on record and remembered how well you'd worked.
Right.
He suggested Schenker. I think he and I jointly suggested Kühnel Nagel and one or two others for the following very small project.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the present situation is that sometime in the next few weeks, when the weather is better, there is no desperate hurry for this, but as soon as the weather is good, I want transported to the south of Germany, right to the bottom, almost to the Swiss border, you can say.
Yeah.
Three models of steam-propelled vehicles. They're only models.
Yeah.
Now, the first one is... Oh, now, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm sorry. I mislaid my bit of paper. May I know your name again?
Tony Ball, B-A-L-L.
Tony Ball. May I ask how old you are?
What time is Mrs. Lung going to Kowloon?
Lung Tai Tai, Gay Diem Chung, Hui Kowloon. Lung Tai Tai, Gay Diem Chung, Hui Kowloon.
She is going to Kowloon at 3 o'clock.
Khoi sam diem chung hui Kowloon. Khoi sam diem chung hui Kowloon.
What time are you going to the cinema?
Nei ki diem chung hui thai hi. Nei ki diem chung hui thai hi.
Well, it's so long answering the telephone because it has come off the spool.
Right. Now, the next thing to do is to, you know, on the recorder, there is a recording level control, which is also a volume control.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, the left hand of two knobs. Not the one with the three positions, the bucket and so forth, but the one to the left of that.
Yes.
Could you turn that right down to zero?
Right.
That will make sure, you see, that in the test now coming, that no new material is recorded. Could you now press the recording button on the left, the same one that you've used hitherto, whichever that may be?
Two, yes.
Okay. Right, press that, and then press start.
What's it? Come on.
And observe the number on the counter.
I haven't got my glasses with me.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, that is going to be essential. We need the counter.
Oh, Lord, I forgot to push that bloody button down at the beginning.
Right, could you push it down?
Yeah.
So you've got down the same button as you had before, the two or whatever.
Yes.
And the start.
Yes.
Just leave it running, and you don't know the position of the counter, do you?
No. Oh, it's about 120.
Right, okay. Well, let it run for perhaps a minute.
Yeah.
And then we stop it and we go back again to that same 120 and play back and see what comes off the tape. What should then happen is nothing at all should come off the tape.
Thanks. It'll come off the spool again, damn it.
Oh, I see, when you go back to the beginning.
Yes.
Well, if you're very careful, you may master the art of... Sometimes I can do it and very often I can't. Sometimes I can just stop it before it gets there.
Yeah.
But it's quite tricky.
I know it's tricky. It's very tricky. Look, I really can't stay here. I'm sorry. Everything's going wrong. We're starting harvesting.
I know. Is this a bad moment? Should we leave it for another time?
Honestly, it's a damn bad moment. Excuse me being impolite.
Oh, no. Let's leave it for another time.
Yes, my husband's in. He wants the telephone now.
Yes, let's leave it.
Okay, and I'll be in touch with you. I'll try it again.
Bless you.
Okay.
Adieu.
Adieu.
Yep, I know it's hilarious. Right, I've had 3 hours of recording.
Yes.
On 1, 2. I haven't had 3 hours. Okay. It's all set up for you to hear. This is the second one I've done.
Now, 1 second, let me just get this straight. This is the new tape.
It's your tape.
Yes.
Yep.
And you've done 3 hours on what? 1, 2?
If you say it's 3 hour tape, I did half a tape. Then I got bored of it.
I think, you don't need to do the whole thing. For this test, you literally only need to do 2 minutes recording. Or even 1 minute will do.
Well, no, because it keeps coming off the spool.
Oh, I see.
Yep. Now, here is the second one. Thank you very much. It's coming up right now, once I get it on to the bloody thing. Oh, no, not somebody at the door again. I can't stand it. I'm leaving you with it for a moment.
Right.
Please, don't put the phone down. It's my telephone.
No, I won't. I won't.
I've got to go out. There's chaos here today.
Oh, hold on. Coming. Hello? I didn't hang up. I heard you call Morris, and when I got to the instrument, you'd already hung up. I'd merely gone into the next room to divest myself of my heavy motorcycle leather jacket that I'd just been out on the motorbike with.
Ah.
Yes, I heard it, and it's as far as I could hear it over the telephone, it sounded all right.
Yes, that is the second recording which we've got. Gloria Hungerford.
Right. Now, have you noticed in the second recording any traces at all of the first recording?
No.
Well, then in that case, I think we're home and dry. Your machine appears to be compatible.
Yep.
I am going to see the 9:30 show.
我去睇九點半。
You'll notice that in Cantonese, you say, in fact, I'm going to see 9:30.
我去睇九點半。
And the next, what time are we going to the airport?
我哋幾點鐘去飛機場。
We're going to the airport at 6 o'clock this evening.
我哋今晚6點鐘去飛機場。
He will actually be back in about 15 minutes. He just popped out to get a paper.
How is your little one?
Oh, he's fine now. He's absolutely back to normal.
I'm very glad, because your husband had a vision of reeds growing in a lake. You know about this?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, I only know about it because when I was there, he happened to receive an incoming call from, I think it was a lady who is, I believe, a healer.
Right, yes.
Did the child receive the attention of that lady?
I don't know. I don't think Matthew took him to see her.
No, I see. No, because he happened to say to her in my presence that he, while laying his hands on the child, had a vision of a lake with reeds growing in it.
Hmm.
Now, I am a herbalist and a homeopath, and that didn't immediately mean anything to me, though I did tend to think of the Iris family. And I have just made a protracted study in my bed, a Sunday morning herbal study, of the sweet sedge, which is a particular type of reed which grows in lakes and in the fens in Norfolk and so forth, and contains various aromatic principles and essential oils which are of a highly medicinal character. And it occurred to me that the reason for looking this up was to see what it was that had, you know, that had guided him in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what was his problem? What were the symptoms?
Well, when we took him to hospital, they still couldn't actually say what it was. They suspected it was a viral infection that he'd suddenly contracted, and they had just taken him sort of in very quickly, as apparently can happen with children. But he was absolutely fine 1 minute, and he was just going to bed, drifted off to sleep, and then suddenly started being very violently sick.
Ah, then in that case, that vision could well have been absolutely relevant, because this thing is relevant, this sedge grass, not sedge grass, sweet sedge, is specifically relevant to the digestive system.
Really?
So I think probably he had a correct intuition. Yes, it's very often the case. And it's particularly good, this thing, against the sort of fevers, digestive and other, which are prolific in the Fen country. Has he been at all on water recently?
We took him swimming about a week before, but it was indoors, it wasn't out.
Was it a swimming bath?
Yes, it was. It was up in Yorkshire. Well, in fact, actually, we went to the seaside, we went to Whitby.
Ah, it could be that there was something in that water.
But we went down to the sea.
Went to the sea as well. Well, unfortunately, the sea today isn't what it once was.
It's true.
Who knows? Anyway, it's very interesting. I would say that your husband obviously is gifted with divine intuition in these things.
Maybe.
Interesting. Anyway, ask him to give me a ring when he comes in.
Yes, I will.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Hello? Hello? You've been cut off twice in the last quarter of an hour when telephoning you. I think there may be something wrong with your internal telephone system. Would you please reconnect me with... Is it Miss Burden?
Yep.
Thank you.
Can we name, please?
Captain Seddon, Audiorama Limited.
Manor Pottery.
Well, now, you would arrive at King's Cross, you say. Well, I mean, indeed, if I knew an exact time when you were going to arrive at King's Cross, I could even meet you at King's Cross Station at a predetermined time, in a particular part of the station, for instance, in the booking hall or something like that, and take the machine from you. Is that any help?
Oh, you see, when I go to London from St. Albans to King's Cross, I should get there about 11, or about that time.
11 in the morning? Right. Now, is this what you definitely intend to do? Because obviously I don't want to go, especially to King's Cross, and then not find you there.
Yeah. Or a different time, I think it's about 11:30.
11 to 11:30. Well, I tell you what I suggest you do. Would you like to find out from the railway service exactly what the time of this train is, and then we telephone me again, and we'll arrange a meeting there. Mm. Or if that turns out to be too difficult, then we can arrange for you to bring it to Datchet.
And we see, from St. Albans, I should get a train from there about 10 to 11, and it'll take about 30 minutes getting there. So I should get around about 11:15. 11:15.
You leave at 10:40. Well now, is this a definite appointment?
I'll leave St. Albans at 10:40, and I'll get to King's Cross by 30 minutes from there.
Right, okay. And what platform number do you arrive on?
Well, I think it'd be the one that opens out of the street that's near the King's Cross station.
Yes, but you don't know the number of the platform?
Northhand, no.
Well, I suppose I could find that out when I get there. So this is quite definite for this coming Saturday, is it?
Yes.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you how you should know me.
You're right.
I often buy things in London, and when you see me carrying a blue case, a record case.
A blue what case?
Record case.
Metal case?
No, a record case to carry records.
Blue record case?
Yes.
Yes. What is the blue record case made of? What material?
Wooden hardboard, no.
Wood and hardboard, right. And is this a square-shaped case, or is it a curved case? Is it rounded, or has it got square edges?
Well, I think it's got square edges.
Square, right. May I know how tall you are?
Oh. Average height, about 5'11".
5'11", right. What colour is your hair?
Brown.
Brown hair, right, okay. And what would you be wearing?
Well, you see me wearing one of those modern overcoats.
Right. What colour?
Well, it's called an anorak.
An anorak?
Yes.
Right, so it's not an overcoat, it's an anorak. What colour is it?
Very light brown.
Very light. Right. And what colour and type of trousers would you be wearing?
Oh, grey. But you should definitely know me when you see me carrying a case.
Oh, yes, but the case on its own isn't really enough. I need a description of the person. Well, that's given me some idea. Fine. And I take it your skin is white in colour?
Yes.
Right, that's important in modern society because there's so many different colours. Now, I'd better describe my appearance. I'm not easy to mistake. As I told you, I travel everywhere by motorbike. And therefore, I'm clad accordingly. And you will see me wearing black leather motorcycle boots, black leather motorcycle trousers, black leather kneecaps, protective kneecaps, strapped on over my knees to protect me when I fall off my motorbike. We all do sooner or later. And the top half, depending on the weather conditions, will probably be a sort of silver and blue plastic waterproof over jacket, over which I always wear an advertising tabard. Do you know what I mean by a tabard? Something like a jacket without sleeves to it, strapped on round the sides. Yeah. And this is an advertising over jacket, which bears an inscription, something along these lines. Heated, gloves, insoles, clothing, and the telephone number you're now ringing, Slough 42242.
Of course, you could put the code number.
Right, 07. No, I beg your pardon. No, you know the code. I think what it has on the tabard, it has written Slough. S-L-O-U-G-H.
And as for case, you see the colour's blue.
Right, I have noted that. And have you noted the description of what I look like? I'm 6 foot and half an inch in height.
Yes.
I'm fairly broadly built. I'm grey-haired, greyish-white, and I wear this very conspicuous advertising jacket. I'm rather like a sort of sandwich man advertising person.
Yes.
I advertise my own product. By the way, I should perhaps have told you, you could have seen me and my product on television all over the world. As far as Britain is concerned, you could have seen it on BBC One, on BBC Two, on ITV, on Channel 4, and on British satellite broadcasting. It's a system of heated clothing which keeps warm invalids, elderly people, and people who suffer from the cold.
Yeah.
So the jacket has reading on it, emblazoned on my chest and on my back in large letters, in a reflective material, heated clothing, insoles, gloves, and the telephone number Slough 42242. So I stand out pretty well. Now, what part of the station do you suggest we meet in? What part do you know well?
It'll be very near the station.
Well, I would suggest it would be in the station rather than near the station, because if we make it near the station, we're going to lose our way. Unless you suggest a particular place outside the station that you know well.
Or near some Italian cafe.
Near an Italian cafe?
Mm. But you would definitely know when you see me carrying the blue case.
But I need to know where this Italian cafe is. When I get out of the station, do I turn right or left?
Well, when I come out of the station, I'll turn left.
On leaving station, turn left, right. And how far do we then go to this cafe?
Oh, not very far.
How far? I mean, 10 yards, 50 yards, 100 yards, 200 yards?
Oh, just about 10, 15 yards or so.
15 yards. Do you know the name of the cafe?
I couldn't tell you.
I would suggest that is a bit risky, because we may well miss one another. Look, I tell you what, will you be in for the rest of the morning or not?
You mean today?
Yes.
Not really. I'll be in this afternoon.
Right. Are you going out straight away, or are you staying in for a period before you go out?
Well, I should be back in about an hour.
Back in about an hour. I tell you what, when you get back, would you please telephone me again to find out the situation?
Yes.
Would you do that? Because I shall be in anyway, do you see? And then we can arrange definitely either St. Albans or Datchet.
We're going to go to the airport at 6 o'clock. Hello?
Hello?
Now, let's take a few more new words. And the first, the Cantonese for to return. This is
fan. Fan.
A high falling tone.
Fan.
Meaning to return. When it's used in conjunction with the word to go, that is
hui. Fan hui.
It means to go back.
Fan hui.
Literally, return, go.
Fan hui.
To go back. When it's used in conjunction with the word come, that is
lai, fan lai.
It means to come back.
Fan lai.
Well, I can only say that, I mean, in matters of business, she seems to me to be quite a businesswoman. She is a landlady in her own right. She has dealt a lot with tenants and with matters relating to tenancy, and she seems to have quite a good grasp of the whole thing. If
but only in her way, only in her limited way. And anyhow, I was terribly upset. We made a plan, you didn't stick to it. We were quite...
I beg your pardon, I didn't stick to it. May I intervene and say you didn't stick to it. You made an excellent plan, and I'm very grateful to you for it, and within 24 hours you'd made a volte-face, you'd turned back to front, and you'd said, I'm not going to do it after all.
Yes, because...
But Anne continued to do it.
Then you talked separate before that to Anne, and then I thought, no, I give up that. Talking to Anne, talking to me, and there is not a kind of proper dealing finished. Forget it. And...
Well, I don't see that there's anything wrong, anything more wrong in talking with Anne than with talking with you.
Yes, no, the arrangement, it doesn't matter, it's hopeless.
Well, I mean, the arrangement was that you were kindly going to contribute something and she was kindly going to contribute something. So just as I would talk with you about it, so I would perfectly naturally talk with her about it.
Yes, no, you spoiled it all, because... Before we said, came to a final, yes, we do that. We said, you come to my house. We three sit down. We put down what we have and then act accordingly. And...
I was and am perfectly willing to do that. I have nothing against that at all.
Now, anyhow, you go ahead. You sell the Rolls Royce.
Well, that's all very well. That's easier said than done. I've got somebody coming here, I see, on Thursday. I think it's Thursday. No, it isn't even. Yes, it is. Who is just one person who is conceivably, could conceivably at some point in time, be perhaps potentially interested in buying for resale the car. He's a dealer. But I think it's unlikely to bring anything, because I've already spoken with a considerable number of dealers, and the general consensus of opinion is the same, that this is a bad time, and that these things are not selling.
Yes. If I want to do something, I do it. And if you don't succeed at once, try again.
That is a good motto.
You need it, and for me... When I started my business, everybody said in 1931, everything is down, Germany is at the end. It was the worst time possible, and I started the most flourishing business. All this saying it's not a good time, etc., is quatsch. If I want something, I do it.
Yes, I think that's true.
Up my mind and do it. And you don't see... When I hear naive remarks of you, that shows how little you know things. When you say, well, this time everything is properly done on paper. This paper isn't worth a thing. People who owe with you the ground and house or own it themselves, they do what they like, and you try to do something against it. In spite of all the papers in the world, you can't do a thing, first of all. If you do something via lawyers and court, it takes more time than your life will last. And this is all so... it's really nonsense talk, believe me.
Well, you may well be right.
Whatever papers you have, who cares? Before you...
Oh, I just wanted to make sure that all was well with you.
Yes?
All is well with you, is it?
Who is it?
It's Morris.
Ah, yes, of course.
Wollte nur sicher sein, dass alles in Ordnung war.
Yes, of course.
That's fine.
I listened to Oscar Wilde on the radio.
Oh, yes.
That is an amount which I really is... Well,
they are, of course, the sort of highest grade of solicitor, and I suppose that was a mistake.
They are the highest grade of stupid asses.
You're probably right.
Not having given you the right advice.
Well, you may well be right there. Rosemary is also of the opinion that they have not advised me very well.
I have experience with them. It's a lot of couture and snobism and so on. It's they are stupid asses.
You may well be right.
Terrible. And that this Paisley gives you the go-ahead with Mr. Smith, well, I don't know what to say to it.
Well, that I'm sure you're right.
Yes. Get the Rolls Royce sold and buy it. You yourself, all the others say only do it for speculative reasons. And you will feel it soon on your own body.
I believe you.
Very sharply, because these people who had it up to the moment, I think they were not only very decent, they were just magnificent human beings to you. You don't see it in the right way.
Well, I don't, really.
They were wonderful to you. You are not able to see it. You think always that other people must do something for you. You are so wrongly minded in that way.
You see, they said that they were buying it, they were putting up the capital, and I would be able to buy it back from them as and when I had the money, and it was quite definitely for me and for the rest of my days. And within 2 years, they had broken their word.
Yes, because nobody buys something. You want charity, charity, charity all the way. You don't see things in the right way. You are absolutely charity-minded, and everybody must do something for you. Instead, even when I observe you in these weeks, you are in that position. You don't do anything to make money. And in some, you are healthy. In some ways, you can make money. That is, you can tell me what you want.
Well, I mean, I steadily work away at my humble little function, which makes a small amount of money. And over the years, the amount of money that I have has grown from almost nothing to a little bit. So to say that I do not do work and do not make money is not true, but I am not, my occupation is not one which brings a lot of money. It's as simple as that.
You could do it because people were kind to you. I mean, you live in a kind of luxury which nobody can afford. Who can afford to live in a ground like that as a single person? And that house you have, it is not so bad. People live in worse houses like this.
Oh, yes, I quite agree. I mean, people do live in worse houses. But from the modern business standpoint of a surveyor who is looking at the thing in hard figures like an accountant, there they say, right, what would it cost to put it in order? So much. What would it cost to demolish it and build other houses? So much. It is more economical to demolish it.
You afford a luxury which is absolutely limitless. Limitless.
Limitless. So limitless that I buy no meat whatsoever except about every 3 years of little labour forced, that I live almost entirely on second-hand vegetarian food, which I have by the freezer full, from a restaurant which has gone out of business in July last year, and which material I accumulated over 8 years, so luxurious that I've never spent a penny on painting or decorating any part of this house. I have never bought a single piece of new furniture, a single new carpet, a single picture. I have had no kind of luxury whatsoever. That is how luxuriously I live. What do you say to that? Hello? Hello?
So, when will you go back to England?
Nei gei di fan hui ying guo.
I'll go back to England this year.
我今年返去英國.
When will you come back here?
你幾時返嚟呢處? 你幾時返嚟呢處?
I'll come back here next year.
我出年返嚟呢處.
I moved the whole band and there's nothing. I can't pick him up.
Right. Could you very kindly now, in case the previous test was on VHF, could you once more check on medium wave whether that bit of wire makes any difference?
Yes, I'm on medium wave. Hang on, wait.
Perhaps you would tune it around 1340 to any weak station and see if the wire makes any difference.
Yeah, well, hang on. It's in the bottom plug hole.
I think you want it in the top hole.
All right, hang on. Let me get back to 1340. Eh?
Right.
20th. And that be... Right, I'm back on the 1340. I'm in the bottom hole, I'm going to put it in the top hole.
Right.
Right, I'm now in the top hole. I will, if you'd like me to, I'll go and check to see what the hell is on that radio now, because it may be music, which I have missed.
Right.
Okay.
Fine.
Hold it. The answer is, it's totally different. We got talking here and we got music on the other radio too.
And the other one is definitely on medium wave, is it, the little one?
Yeah, it's definitely on medium wave on BBC Two.
I'm baffled. I don't know what the explanation is.
In the club, so am I.
Just don't know what to make of it.
I've asked my wife to bring the radio through and plug it in the drawing room here. So we can try and compare the noise.
Yes.
Tell you what I'd do is, give me 5 minutes and ring me back.
I'll do.
I will retune this bloody thing and then know what we're talking about, all right?
Fine, thank you so much.
I'll
ring you in 5 minutes.
Right, fine.
You must bear with me. I'm awfully sorry, but some clients have arrived by appointment to see me, and for about the next 3 hours, I shan't be able to telephone. Shall I ring you when they've gone?
Yeah, wait one. What's the time? No, you can't at 10 o'clock. Okay, leave it until tomorrow night. I have got a radio set up here. I've got an extension lead, and so I can max bloody stations with each other, all right?
Fine. You see, it may be that the Grundig is calibrated in meters and not kilocycles, and that would throw everything into chaos.
No, hang on. The Grundig is theoretically calibrated in kilocycles.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Good. And bear in mind that calibration is not accurate, and when things get old, they drift more than ever.
Of course, I accept that. I did have a little learning on radios in the army.
I'm sure you did.
I would suggest, in fact, that you give us a ring tomorrow night. Let's let the thing go on playing around as it is.
Fine.
Got on Radio 2. That'll keep the pieces end.
Oh, you've got Radio 2?
Yeah, I got bloody Radio 2 because I rechecked it on the other radio.
You've got it on the Grundig?
Yeah, I've got it on the Grundig.
Oh, I see. And what calibration reading have you got it?
Calibration reading is medium wave, kilocycles, 1325.
Oh, well, then it's only 15 out.
Yeah, well, okay, fine. I mean, don't let's argue about that.
It can be received.
Yeah.
That's fine. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, fine.
Perhaps it isn't even necessary for me to call tomorrow, or is it?
Well, I don't know what the hell the panic was all about, but I think the panic was about the tape recorder.
Well, the panic appeared to be due to the fact that the record buttons were being used as playback buttons, and the playback buttons as record buttons, which is desperately dangerous for your precious recordings, because it runs the risk of destroying them.
Yeah.
And the second one, you see, was the acoustic feedback with the portable telephone. And the third thing was the radio too.
Well, you see, the radio telephone, frankly, as I told you earlier, in fact, it's always been used. There's nothing new in that.
Yes, well, I honestly can't tell you. I mean, there must be some variable factor or factors.
Yeah. Okay, let's leave it. And if you'd like to give my wife a ring tomorrow night after 6, it'd be great. Or...
Yes, I'll do that.
Thank you very much.
Kind regards to both.
Wait one. My wife wants to talk to you.
Hello, hello?
Hello?
Cast a spell. love. You intoxicate my soul with.
I'll come back at 6:45.
我六點三個骨翻嚟。 我六點三個骨翻嚟。
And now for some translation from English into Cantonese. How would you put this into Cantonese? What time are they coming to your place? That should have been
佢哋幾點鐘嚟你書? 佢哋幾點鐘嚟你書?
What time are they coming to your place? And the next one, what time does Mr. Chin eat lunch?
This program has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.